Of Mornings for the Master here on the GospelRadioNetwork.org, live from a soggy downtown Mount Vernon, Texas. We got a lot of rain last night. With us in the studio today, standing in for Brother Richard as he is traveling for the holidays, is Ryan Smithy, the one who led us yesterday in a great study of Chapter 2, and who did Chapter 1 on Monday. So Ryan's is working overtime this week, and we appreciate the work that he does for the studio and for the network, rather. And so we have that opportunity today to look at Chapter number 3. And normally we say a little bit about the bulletin board, but there's not really much up there. All that I see on the bulletin board this morning is the announcement for the gospel meeting coming up down at Carriage Oaks, starting on Friday, December the 2nd. And so one of our good brethren, Eric Lyons, is coming over from Alabama. He's part of the Apologetics Press. Has a lot of background in apologetics and is just a great guy. We appreciate what Eric does. And so anyway, he'll be staying on for some great lessons Saturday and Sunday. And so we're looking forward to the idea of being taught down there, do not be conformed. And so between December 2nd and 4th, please mark your calendars for the Carriage Oaks opportunity down there in Bossier City, Louisiana. It's not too far. I guess it's about 2 hours down there, isn't it, Ryan? Something like right that. So it's not that bad of a drive. You'd be well pleased if you took the time to go down there and be a part of that. Also, since I won't have the opportunity to tell you personally, we go ahead and tell you today, Happy Thanksgiving. A lot of us are going to be taking out traveling even today, going to grandma's or heading across country to a friend or loved one, so we wish you safe travels. Jody and I got to go down the interstate for a little while last night, and it was pretty full out there, so I would imagine that a lot of people are already traveling, and, you know, just please be safe out there. There's a lot of emotions that run high when you get onto the interstate, and people always in a hurry. I don't care if you're doing 160 miles an hour, there's somebody behind you. Well, actually, I do care if you're doing 160 miles an hour, but there's always somebody wanting to pass you, and they'll pass you in the grass if they have to. And boy, I tell you, people just really get in a hurry today. But be safe out there. If you're traveling today, you may be listening to the Gospel Radio Network today in your car while you're traveling. And certainly we're thankful that you've invited us into your automobile. And if you have your Bibles with you, maybe someone in the passenger seat can open it up while you have both hands on the steering wheel. If you're not in the car and you have the opportunity to get into the chat window, Ryan is monitoring the chat window this morning. And he says Jody's already in there. So good morning to Jody. We appreciate Miss Ann. She listens down in Winsboro on a regular basis. And so good morning, Miss Ann. Glad that you're with us. And Miss Frida out here on the highway, Highway 67, as she still recovers from her procedure. We're glad to have you with us. And I hope that you're feeling better and better every day. Certainly think of all those like Mom and Dad. They may not be listening today, but they might. They're over in Pigeon Forge for a couple of days, but certainly Mama's got the phone open and probably listened to us this morning. So greetings to y'all. My buddy Jeff out on the East Coast as he delivers groceries. Good morning to you, brother. Any of you that had the opportunity to listen, we're just so thankful for you in giving you your valuable time. Time is a valuable commodity, and so we're grateful that you spent it this way with us today. Tomorrow, Lord willing, Brother Chris, even on Thanksgiving Day, will have the opportunity to carry on in Chapter 4, and we certainly know he's going to do a great job in that. And then we look forward to the brothers North Jefferson coming over, J.J. and Chris, and they'll be with you on Friday. So if you've got your word open this morning, we'll take the opportunity to open up chapter number 3 together. And let's just read the first two verses together. I tell you what, Ryan, if you'll read that with us, then all of you out there, let's just follow along with Brother Ryan here in chapter 3.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Boy, there's about an hour and a half of comments just right there in those two verses. And the first thing that stands out, you know, we comment regularly, probably every day on this program, that these chapter breaks were placed there by man. And this is a long letter. So imagine yourself writing a letter to grandma. And then as you change thoughts and start a new paragraph or something, that's what we've seen here. We've seen man has broken this up. And so notice the transition that is really seeing as he comes out of even verse 29 at the, again, man-made chapter break. He says, if you know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love. Ryan, that word behold just stands up and screams at me. Behold! He's calling your attention to something. He's wanting you to look right here. Look right here. And it reminds me of a comment that he made back in John chapter 1 and verse number 29. Behold! The Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. The same attention that was to be called in that crowd in that day is to be held right here. Behold what manner of love. Now, again, another reference that we might bring to your mind, what manner of love, think about what manner of persons you ought to be. 2 Peter 3 at about verse 10 or 11 there. Notice what manner. So think about the quality. What quality of person ought you to be, knowing that the end of the world is coming, 2 Peter 3. And then think about this. What manner of love, what quality of love the Father hath given, the Father hath bestowed, granted, look at that, upon us. Upon us. Notice the congregations that are being addressed, the congregations that are being told this agape love that God has manifested unto all mankind. Romans 5, 8 and 9, what beautiful love is put on display in the giving of his Son for our sins, even while we were still sinners. So look at this. Behold the quality, the beauty of this agape love that's been granted to us, that we should be called the children of God, the sons of God. And even if you're reading from an American Standard Version, you'll see, and such we are, right? Here's this statement, this confirmation, this assuredness that you can have. Because remember verse 29, everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him, sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. And again, we'll see several times in this particular chapter discussion today, again, pay a close attention to the ETH words that we see in the King James Version. That always is something prominent, because more times than not, it shows this continual action. And so notice the world continues to not know us. It's something that is ongoing. It's an active process, because it knew him not. They denied him. And they're going to continue to deny us. And, you know, you might think back again to John 15, verses 18 and 19. The world hates me, and the world's going to hate you, really, is what we see there. And so don't be surprised, right? And we're going to see that again as well. But what a prominent way to even have the opportunity to open a discussion this morning. The love that is showed to us, the prominence of what we see here. Behold! And then notice he says, beloved. Now, yesterday we got to look at the idea of children, my little children. And that was certainly used in several different scenarios there. But then at one point he says, brethren. How beautiful that was. And notice here he says, beloved. And Ryan, I couldn't help but think back to several places, like at the Jordan. Behold, my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Notice at the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17, my beloved son. So many places we see this beautiful term pop up here. And how fitting it is then for John to use it of these. Who's he addressing? Beloved, brethren, my little children, now, right here, in the present, here and now, are we the sons of God? You know, that is something that was certainly needful right then and right there. As you're looking, you know, what'd we say, somewhere around 90, 91 AD, somewhere in that particular vicinity of time that this may have been penned. And so here, notice what they're going through. Notice what has happened in their lifetime. Remember the problems that have been expressed even back in the Galatian letter. There were terrible people that were going around spreading false doctrine that were trying to take people's hope away. Remember the tragedy of 1 Thessalonians 4. You missed the resurrection, right? Mm-hmm. So much was going on, and here we've dealt with, and we mentioned yesterday, certainly that Gnostic problem that was in the air, that was surrounding the church, as it were, on the outside and trying to tear down people's faith. And notice, now are we the sons of God. How powerful is that? Mm-hmm. How powerful is that? And it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. We know what we are now. We're confirmed about what's going on right now. But when he comes, notice, we don't know what we shall be, but we know. Again, notice the know continually that you'll see here. We know. That, again, is pointing a finger, certainly, even at the Gnostics. We know that when he shall appear. Notice, if he shall appear, if he should appear. No, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. There's no doubt in John's tone. There's no doubt in what he is expressing to them. You need to be confident, for we shall see him as he is, not as he was. You remember as he was, even as he was laid in a tomb. You remember as he was, even resurrected, walking about for some 40 days among us. Not as he was, but as he is. And I can't even get my head around some of these ideas, but just the privilege that is expressed in what manner of love that we should even have an opportunity to be as he is. We shall see him as he is. No doubt in the words that are being used here. This is confirmation. This is security. This is comfort that we are going to one day put on that immortal and meet him in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4, and be with him forever and ever. Have anything to insert there, brother?
Just a note I came across here that of interest by Robert Taylor that mentioned love, of course, is a central theme to John's writing in this book, but has counted some 51 times that some form of the word love is used throughout this epistle, and about 10 times per chapter or almost every other verse.
Wow.
And that certainly shows through in that love that God has towards us. And the other thing there, going back, make sure you make the connection as you did, verse 29, but how do we become the sons of God? Because we're doing righteousness. We're imitating him, we're following him, and we're going to grow up and get to be like him and with him for all of eternity. Those, like you said, those two verses we could go easily all morning on.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And again, we sometimes just read over, but like Ryan said, doeth righteousness. That's that continual action. We've made a decision to have a lifestyle of doing, continually doing righteousness. And that must be an everyday thing. You know, Jesus in Luke 9 and verse 23 says that you follow me daily, you deny me daily, you take up your cross daily, you do these things on a regular basis. And so absolutely the idea of doing righteousness, sons of God, right here and right now, and then one day clothed in immortality, living around the throne, even as those that we could see expressed in Revelation 4, around the throne. Well, let's move forward, and let's take the next piece. We'll break the next part of the chapter basically in just two parts. And so read with us, if you will, verses 3 through 12, and we'll look at the origin and characteristics of sinful conduct, as it's been titled here.
And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous.
Mm. Wow. So looking back at verse number 3, every man that hath this hope in him. You know, I'm reminded then that some people don't have that hope in him.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that is absolutely necessary to understand in this verse. Every man that hath this hope in him. Why say that if the possibility of not having that hope arises? Mm-hmm. Again, my mind wanders back to 1 Thessalonians 4 as those that have no hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so every man that hath this hope in him does what? Purifies himself. And again, here we go, ETH. It's a continual process. It's something that we work on daily. Every single day we live to be more pure than we were yesterday, to be more complete than we were yesterday. I remember Brother Mosier told us one time, Brother, he said that he hears people say, "Help me to be a better Christian." Well, mm-hmm. That's redundant. That's like hound dog. You're saying dog, dog. Remember Brother Mosier said that?
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, Christian is better,
right?
But we can be stronger. We can try to be better on a daily basis. And so he purifies himself, even as he is pure.
Mm-hmm.
And so immediately I was reminded of verses that point us back, even like in Leviticus 11, at verse 44, where we see words like, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." If you're going to be God-like, if you're going to be Christ-like, then shouldn't you be pure as he is pure, or holy as he is holy, sanctified as he is sanctified? 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16 use those very words that we see even in Leviticus 11, 44, and other places. And so, be holy, be pure, be sanctified, purify yourself. You know, we use quite often in sermonic thought verses like 1 Peter 1. And verse number 22, that says, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth," and this goes right along with our text here, "see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." And so we have this opportunity to have a pure conscience, a pure heart, a pure soul by obeying the truth. Jesus prayed for that. John 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them, set them apart, make them holy." How does that happen? Through the Word. thy word is truth, he says. And so, those that have that hope, that lies in front of them, I think it was in Romans 8, about verse 24, brother, that we see that hope that is seen is not hope, right? And so we hope for that which we have not touched or seen or smelt or tasted or any of those things, but we look forward to that which has been promised us. Even the discussion, again, that we see in various places, like, again, 1 Thessalonians 4, that discussion about what is to come, and we hope for that. You know, I hope for a new tool or something at Christmas, right? And that's great. But once I get it, once I open the package, I don't hope for it anymore because I've already got it, right? And so that's what we look for. Those that have this hope, this immortality, being clothed like he is, we have that hope. And so in order to obtain that, what do? We remain pure on a daily basis. Whosoever committeth sin, again, here's another one of those instances. Those that continually sin, those that continually live that particular lifestyle, right? Those, you know, and I think we could maybe even apply Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 here. This is the idea of a nation that was living in sin continually, right? Mm-hmm. Continually looking away from God's precepts, continually not teaching their children, continually doing, you know, lawlessness, I guess you could say, really. And so there is this separation that happens, as Isaiah mentions in Isaiah 59, because of continued lawlessness. And Israel would have to pay the price. 70 years of captivity would belong to them because of this lawlessness that they committed on a regular basis. And so here's the same idea. Whosoever continually sins, who committeth these transgressions, this lawlessness, is flying in the face of God. All right? So we use this one verse to point out so many times the definition of sin. John tells us what sin is. It's transgressing the law of God. I might even insert the word there, trespass. You know, we see signs in people's yards, no trespassing. Well, God has the same law, no trespassing. Mm. And so, you know, a lot it could be pointed out. You know, he tells us that our salvation is conditional, right? There's something that I could do to not be pure. There's something that I could do to transgress God's law. And so there are those that do commit sin regularly. That's being pointed out here. Don't be one of them. And he says in verse 5, and you know. Again, here's this idea of knowing. Again, flying in the face of this heresy, which is the Gnostic mess. You know that he was manifested. Now, they denied that. They absolutely did not accept it. Oh, it was an apparition. It was, you know, this or that. And they believed even that if their physical body continued to sin, their soul could remain clean and pure. Mm-hmm. I don't really get that, but that's where they stood, many of them. And here it says, you know, he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him was no sin. Immediately, you might remember such precious verses like Matthew 1. And I believe it's verse 21. It says, his name shall be called Jesus, because he shall take away the sins of the people. And so in him was no sin, no guile. You look back to wonderful passages, and you may have it in your column references, I do, Isaiah 53. That suffering Savior that took what I deserved. By his stripes I am healed. Look at what he did for me. Again, pointing back to what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And so notice that he was put here. He was brought here. He was placed here by God the Father. Willingly, submissively, he did this because I sin. Romans 3:23, Paul says that all, and he includes himself, all have sinned and fallen short. And Jesus came to take care of that problem. So whosoever continues to abide in him sinneth not. That is, you're not going to be sinless. But you know what? You're going to live a different lifestyle. You're not going to live the same way that you did before baptism. You're not going to live the same way before you made the decision, Joshua 24:15, to serve him. And so we don't make that a habit anymore. Now, you know, I remember camp. You know, you get up in the middle of the night and have to go to the restroom. And you don't have time to grab your flashlight. I mean, you run out through there and you trip and you fall. It's like, what in the world did I trip over? Well, I'd just lay there and moan and want and beg for help. I kept on going. I got back up and kept on going. And the first thing I did when I did get a flashlight, I went there to see what it was that caused me to stumble so that I didn't stumble over it again. Well, it's the same process that we see as, you know, displayed in several different places, like James 1, looking into the perfect law of liberty, making those changes along the way. You don't want to stumble over that same thing again, but you are going to stumble from time to time. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just something that we have to deal with, but we try on a daily basis to avoid those things that have caused us to stumble in the past. And so we sin not in the idea that we don't live in that fashion anymore, right? And so whoever continues to sin, sinneth, hath not seen him, neither known him. What a tragedy to miss him. You know, we poke fun at Thomas from time to time. You know, Thomas missed him on one occasion that I know of. But you know what? He straightened that out. What a tragedy to miss God. Think about the beauty that was Zacchaeus coming to see Jesus, right? And the change that we see even in his tone, in his life. And look at this, little children. Here's this great term of endearment again. Beloved, he said in verse 2, little children, brethren, as he mentioned even in chapter 2 yesterday, little children, let no man deceive you, right? There was a lot of deceiving going on. The Gnostics were out there. The Judaizing teachers were out there. You remember the tone that Paul took in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 7? These individuals that twist, these individuals that pervert, these individuals that trouble you, let no man deceive you, he says. He that continually does righteousness, that is, doeth righteousness, is righteous. Think of those in chapter 11 of Hebrews that were deemed righteous, that were deemed faithful. You know, they did what God expected them to do on a daily basis, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why they were remembered in such a fashion. If you continually strive towards righteousness, you're righteous even as he is righteous. Again, pointing back to being pure as he is pure, right? Not going to be sinlessly perfect, but we can strive. You know, we talk about from time to time the qualifications of an elder and deacon. You know, I may never be an elder or a deacon, but I can strive to be the husband of one wife. I can strive to be sober. I can strive to be blameless. I can strive. All these things I can strive to be. And the same thing is here. I'm striving for righteousness on a daily basis. And so let no man deceive you. Don't be led astray. Don't be tricked. Don't have your faith shipwrecked even by one of these individuals, right? You need to know this. He that continually commits sin, verse 8, is of the devil. That's a strong statement, Brother Ryan, because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the devil made no man. Uh-huh. The devil begat no man. The devil created no man. But notice, as we look at Diablo, as we look at the devil, that if we follow in his footsteps, mm-hmm. notice that we are being claimed as one of his begotten. Mm-hmm. We become one of his offspring, mm-hmm. as it were. And you would remember that Jesus would even point to some of those in his day and say, you are... Was it John 8, verse 44? You are children of the devil. Ye are sons of the devil. You are his offspring. And so, you know, if your father is the devil, then as you look forward even through Revelation 21 and 22, where can you expect to go? Mm-hmm. What a scary, scary thought.
The son imitates the father. So who are you imitating?
Good. Oh man, yes sir. That'll wax bold right there all day long. Who are you imitating. Whosoever is born, even begotten of God, verse 9, doth not commit sin. Now notice, here's the key. You remember the psalmist would say, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin, right? Notice here, his seed remaineth in him. Anybody remember out there the parable of the sower? What does Luke 8 and verse 11 say? But the seed is the word of God. Now tie this all together with passages like Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Tie that in with passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It talks about your body being the temple of the Spirit. Tie that all together and notice that if you are living by the word, walking by the word, walking in the light as he is in the light, again from Monday's discussion, notice that your aim is not to sin. Now, others in the world, as we watch on TV or as we hear on radio or see in our communities, their aim is to sin on a daily basis. That's their aim. But notice that when the seed remains in him, he cannot sin because he is born of God. That is the idea of we'll not continue to sin. You know, I'm living a different way now. I'm not going to the boats. I'm not going to the liquor store. I'm not going to try to cheat on my taxes. I'm, you know, whatever the situation may be, I'm living a different way. Now, again, you know, I'll stumble from time to time, but that's not my aim. You know, the adversary is certainly going to be out there throwing stones in my way to try to trip me up. And certainly, we look forward to the opportunity of jumping over those stones. But from time to time, sadly, we will have the opportunity to fall. Notice how he tricked Eve and Adam in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I don't imagine when they got up that morning and enjoyed the fresh air and walked about the garden, they thought, well, I wonder how I can offend God today. That was something that was, they were taken by surprise. And so notice that whoever is born of God lives in a different way because the seed of God is in him, teaching us how we ought to live on a daily basis. Now he says, in this, the children of God are manifest. So notice here, the same terminology that is mentioned about Jesus being manifest, open, right, seen, revealed. Notice how we shine our lights on a daily basis. In this, right, the seed is in us. And so what are we going to do? We're going to be manifest. The children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Again, remember in Matthew chapter 7, you remember, you shall know them by their fruits. How are you living? How are you showing forth the Son in your life? And so this is a beautiful comment. Those that, are of the devil will be manifest by their fruit. And those that are living of the Son with the seed in them will be manifest by their fruit. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So notice that this is a qualification for being a child of God, loving our brother. You know, it's hard to love one another at times, isn't it? You know, we butt heads in personalities, opinions, things of those natures. But you know what? When we've got the seed dwelling within us, we live peaceably. We strive for peace. Hebrews 13 and verse 1. Let brotherly love continue, something that we strive for on a regular basis. Those things that we know are absolutely necessary to be pleasing to God. We strive to love one another. John 13, verse 35. Mm-hmm. There's a badge of discipleship. Mm-hmm. Love one another. Love as Jesus loved. Put forth that phileo love. Put forth that agape love. And show yourself to be a child of God. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning. And Ryan did a great job with that idea from the beginning yesterday that we should love one another. How? Well, he takes a moment to tell us. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And I would urge you to even go back and look at the idea of Genesis 4 and verse 7. It seems like there's a choice laid there. Mm-hmm. Now, you can make a choice. And if you choose the wrong way, realize that sin is lying at the door. And then lay alongside of that Proverbs 15 and verse 8, where the Bible says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, right? Diablo, the devil that we just mentioned, the adversary, the tricky one, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Man, how do I love? Well, not like Cain. I'm going to love like Jesus. Have anything to add to that, brother?
Again, a rich section there. One thought that came to mind in the earlier part there is the idea of where are we keeping our eyes?
Good point.
That motivation, remembering there, there in verse 2, every man that hath this hope, are we looking back to the idea that we have that eternal life? As you go through there, are we keeping our eyes on Jesus that was manifested, had no sin, set that perfect example for us? Of God or of Satan. As you get to the end of that, I think of choices. And it's in the Tolstoy archives, and I believe it was by Jim Boyd, but I was sitting there listening one afternoon, and he had a way of telling kind of stories as illustrations. He says, you know, this idea of one cannot commit sin, he says it's not the impossibility. He said, I might be visiting a wonderful sister's house, and she's fed me a wonderful piece of pie and offers me a second one. He said, oh, I just couldn't do it. He said, but there's been many a time I did. So you can, you know, that idea of the Son of God can't sin. You pointed out he's not going to continue in that sin, but it also ought to be that idea of choice, that I've decided I'm following after God. That sets a different life, a different choice, a different pattern for me.
Yeah, that's great. We've seen choices, you know, from cover to cover. Mm-hmm. We're encouraged to make that choice. And isn't it wonderful to know that God has given us the ability to make a choice? Mm-hmm. I mean, other than made us to be robots or something. If the Calvinistic doctrine was true, what a miserable life, you know, half of us would be living. You know, no chance of heaven. No chance. I mean, why would I would imagine that the suicide rate would be astronomical because people would just be giving up. What's the use in living? Mm-hmm. But thanks be to God that he has bestowed upon us his wonderful love, even back at verse number 1. All right, well, we'll finish the chapter at this point with our reading and take about the last 20 minutes of the program to go through these last verses. So join us together as we read verses 13 through 24.
Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. For we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and sheddeth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us.
Have you noticed, maybe it's just me, but as he centers in on brotherly love, that he doesn't say beloved, or he doesn't say my little children, but he says brethren. Hmm. He uses that term brethren specifically to bring to their mind, I think, that he loves them in this brotherly fashion. And so he's practicing what he's preaching, if you will. he's expressing this tenderness even in his speech. And so as Ryan began, marvel not, my brethren. Don't be surprised, brothers in Christ, that the world's going to hate you. It hated Jesus. Again, we point back to John 15, verses 18 and 19. That's probably in your column reference, as it is in mine. This is something that you can expect, right? Dark hates light. You know, if you've ever lived, maybe as you were growing up, I remember years and years and years ago, it seems like now, when I had one of my first rent houses, we had a little bit of an insect problem now, okay? And when you would walk in first thing in the morning, you turn on the light in the kitchen, bugs would scatter, right? They hate the light. And so we see the same thing now. Don't be surprised that dark and light don't get along. Don't be surprised then, for we know. Look at this. Here it is again. We know, Mr. Gnostic friend, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Along those lines, I was kind of remembering some thoughts like Colossians 1 and verse number 13. We've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son, right? We have been, as he mentioned here, begotten. We are begotten of him, of the Father, through the Son. We have passed, that is, to pass over from one place to another. Think about the crossing of the Red Sea. One moment they were in danger, Pharaoh's army crashing down among them, crossing through the sea in that miraculous action, and then on the other side, what is it? The song of Moses, you know, having passed over from trouble to promise. And so being crossed over from death to life. What's due to a person that sins? Romans 6 and verse 23, death. Mm-hmm. But being passed over that, crossing over, raised up to walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6. What is there? There's life. There's life around the throne forever and ever. So we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. There's that badge again, John 13. It is shown. Notice that that which is manifested in the children of light, right? Verse number 10, pointing back to that. We know we can have that assurance then. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And so if you say that you've passed over, then you lie if you're not loving your brother. Doesn't that get back to 1 John, the chapter number 1? We lie. We deceive ourselves if we're telling everybody that we passed over, but we really haven't. This idea of walking in the light, being begotten of God, being obedient, living a righteous lifestyle, not aiming to sin on a regular basis. And part of this idea is loving your brother. Whosoever then hateth his brother. Again, continually hating, ETH, whoever continues to hate his brother is a murderer. And anybody remember what was said about the devil and his being a murderer? Even from the beginning, we look back at John 8 and verse 44 again, where we were a moment ago. He was a murderer. And so we don't want to be begotten of a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. How do you know that? Well, we can be reminded of that in Revelation 21, even at verse number 8 and following, that these things will not possess the kingdom of God. These will not enter into the heavenly realm. And so those that are following the devil can expect to follow him straight into that everlasting Gehenna. That's where he's going. You know, I've seen signs on the back of dump trucks going down the interstate. It says, construction vehicle, do not follow. Because when he turns into the left-hand lane or something in a construction zone and you follow him, you're going to be down in the mud where he's going to deliver his load. Don't follow Satan. Don't follow the murderer, because you can expect that eternal Gehenna. That's where he's going. So don't follow him. Instead, love your brother and wear that badge of discipleship. Be manifest in this life as a child of God. Hereby, Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. What greater love has been shown than Jesus the Christ coming to this earth, leaving those ivory palaces, as it were, to put on flesh and live among a heathen people that would reject him and nail him to a cross? But he did that for you, and he did that for me. Hereby we perceive the love of God. Look back at verse number 1. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Hereby we perceive, we understand, we see now the love of God. We know what love really is. We know how to imitate love now. And so, Matthew 7 and verse number 12, live just like that. And then as Ryan got into verse number 17, whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? Now we're seeing some practical application, right? Okay, I want you to love your brother. Okay, I love you, Ryan. what now? Mm-hmm. Well, when he is destitute of this or that, is it going to do him any good to say, be you warm and filled? Hope you get a meal tonight. Hope you're able to get to services. I know your car is broken down or whatever. How does the love of God dwell in him? Now, it is interesting to notice the idea of whoso. You know, Jesus said, whosoever will. And so the invitation is open to everybody, right? And so as I think about that in verse number 17, whoso hath this world's good, could we say that not everybody in this world has those goods? I mean, I may have abilities to do something that Ryan doesn't have the ability to do, and vice versa. We understand that some people have been financially blessed in this life with good decisions that they have made or whatever the case may be. But notice that if you have been blessed, to whom much is given, much is expected. And so notice that if you've got this opportunity, Galatians 6:10, do good unto all, especially those of the household of faith. Here's how your brotherly love is shown, right? In action. It's not just mouth. It's not just words, verse number 18. My little children, brethren, beloved, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let it show. Right? Those that are going to be blessed in the last day, right? Those that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Those individuals that are pictured there in that judgment scene, you know, the separation of the sheep and the goats. These individuals are going to the left or to the right based on what they have done in showing their brotherly love, right? Visiting, feeding, giving drink, all of these things, these are actions. It's not, hope you get a drink, hope you get a meal. But it's actually going out and doing it. And hereby we know, there it is again, John's telling me through his entire letter, you can know, you can know, you can know. You can be assured that we are of the truth. Not a truth or some truth or something along those lines, but notice, the truth. And shall assure, there's that knowing again, our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. We can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are standing acceptable in his sight. We are pure. We are living for him because of the way that we are living according to his word. I mean, after all, we're going to be judged in that fashion on the last day, right? John 12 and verse 48. And so if you're living the way that God expects you to live, if you're loving your brother and showing those things the way that is expected of you, you know that you are of the truth. That is the same equal status as of God, because God is truth. Hereby we know that we are of God, the children of God. We are of the truth. And notice that our conscience is clean. We have a pure conscience. We have a pure heart before he that knoweth all things. Who was it that Peter said that they should pray to in Acts chapter 1? But the one that knoweth the hearts of all, men there is added by the translators, but he knoweth the hearts of all. And so here we stand before he that knows the hearts of all, that knows all things, omnipotent, omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's everything. He is the I am. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, and we have confidence. Here's this motivation to live in the right way and have a clean conscience in all that we do, because our conscience, our heart, our mind is going to be trained in the Word. Remember, the seed is dwelling in us, and we are living a righteous life. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments. Now, you know, Ryan, from time to time, the answer might be no.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, He is going to answer. That's the promise that we had before us. He's going to answer. But you know what? I may not be ready for that job promotion, you know, because it might take me away from my children. They need a father right now, and they need it every day. I might not be ready for the financial burden. I might not be ready for this, that, or the other. And so the answer might be no, or not at this time, and I should be ready to accept that answer too. But God always answers prayer. And so when we pray, it's always according to His will, right? We always say, if He wills, mm-hmm. because it's His will, not mine. The same thing that Jesus prayed in the garden. Not my will, but thine be done. And whatsoever we ask, receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And so we're doing those things to be pleasing in front of Him, to do those things that are expected. 1 Peter 3 and verse number 12, remember, His eyes, His ears, which way are they pointing? Toward the unrighteous? No, toward the righteous. And so notice what is all rolled up in this hope. We understand that there is a great day coming. There is that everlasting morning. There is that eternity around the throne. But alongside of that, right here and right now, living and breathing the way that He expects us to live and breathe, notice that we have confidence in prayer. We have confidence in the Christian lifestyle. And wonderful, wonderful thoughts that John wants us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave commandment. So the words that we're following, they're not some made-up words of the Gnostic knowledge that is prevailing in the day. These are words that Jesus has spoken. A new commandment I give you, right? Love one another. Continue to love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. Love your bride. Love your husband as Christ loved the church. Love. Continue to love in all manner of life that you live. This is His commandment. The name of Jesus Christ, the greatest name on the face of this planet, certainly suggesting even authority. Colossians 3 and verse 17. This is not something that we've made up. This is the authority of heaven that is speaking this. Love one another. And he that continues to keep His commandments continues to dwell in Him. Again, see here's the ETH words. Continually keeping His commands, continually dwelling in Him. Colossians 3:16, let it dwell in you, and He in Him. That's the vine and the branch. And hereby we know that He abides in us, continues to abide in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Friends, continue to look in the mirror. What a powerful passage this is. What closing comments might you have for us this morning, brother?
Yeah, my ringing thought there was the idea of going back to verse 1, behold the manner of love of the Father. Mm. Come to know Him. Come to know His love. Enjoy the benefits of that love in our life, but then also show that love forth unto others, of the brethren. And so a wonderful, challenging chapter again before us.
Absolutely. A challenge to live the lifestyle. Walk the walk, as it were. Talk the talk. Mm-hmm. Be a man of the Word. You know, ever abounding in those good works, 1 Corinthians 15:58, doing those things that are working while the day is here, because the night cometh when no man can work. I you know, you think about people that have lost physical abilities, been paralyzed in wrecks, you know, maybe Alzheimer's or anything tragically that happens to the physical body, that might very well be the night that comes in your life when you're not able to work anymore. So what have you done prior to that point? You know, we need to be striving on a daily basis, you know, because death is right around the corner. Maybe a physical malady is right around the corner. We just don't know. And so redeem the time. Live circumspectly. Do those things now that are pleasing to God. Mm. Because every minute counts. And I think that's what John is trying to express here. Brethren, my beloved, my little children, love one another. And what a great way to have the opportunity to end right here before we go into a national holiday like Thanksgiving. Mm. You know, there's so much. You see these commercials for Black Friday. Ain't no love there, brother. Mm-hmm. You know, give me that TV or get, you know. Friends, love one another. And that's what we leave you with, even as we understand John would leave his congregation in Ephesus with. Love one another and continue to wear that badge that says, I am a Christian, and I'm expecting to live in heaven for the rest of my life. We love every one of you, and we thank you for being with us today on the Gospel Radio Network Mornings for the Master, and we hope that your morning is a great one. We'll see you.
Been listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6:46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.